Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 441. We are talking about a very, very important topic, the dangers of enmeshment, the enmeshed life. This is a topic that, although in very previous shiurim, and we're already in the 400 series, we mentioned here and there and in certain single shiurim, but we never really fully emphasized it. And now we're doing a little more of that emphasis because it's extremely important. And it's hard for people because the ideal is that the author himself acknowledges. And again, he had Askama from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. Very, very sure they talked about these concepts. And he spoke about it with Gedolei Yisrael. And we see it Bechush. People are not comfortable with this concept. But he acknowledges, and everyone acknowledges, when you learn the Michtam Liyo about Nesina and giving and an unselfishness and Vatran is giving, you know, giving of yourself. And everything I heard from Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that which he talked about Mavral Midoisav, to overlook things, not look at the negative, see the positive, be Michael, be Mavater, because in an El he used to say this, that if you look at your wife and husband and overlook their flaws, Mida Keneged Mida Hashem looks at you, you'll overlook your flaws. But the thing is like this, everything that Rav Pam told us then, everything that Rav Michtam Leo says about giving, everything that we talk about Vatron is giving up, does not contradict what we're saying, it enhances it because you have to know how to do it in the right, healthy way. In the right, healthy way. So here is the thing. So he has a fantastic mashal, and here is the idea. He says basically in an example, the husband he calls Reuven, the wife he calls Tova. And Reuven's sitting by the Shabbos table. He's not saying anything. He's looking at his plate and he doesn't talk at all. The only thing he says is pass the salt, nothing. And he has guests at the table and he's very quiet. Meal's over, guests leave. Tova goes over to him. Why are you so quiet? Now, before she even asked why you're so quiet, Tova knows why he's so quiet. Why is he so quiet? Because he went through a very hard week, and he asked Tova, please, no guests for Shabbos. I'm not up to hosting. I'm drained. I don't have koyach. I need it to be quiet. Please don't invite guests for Shabbos. Tova dismissed that request. She said to herself, he'll feel a little better, and he'll rise to the occasion, and I'm inviting the guests. So here, Reuven, because he wants to be Mevater, and he doesn't want to cause a fight, Tova asks him, so, why are you so quiet? So Reuven doesn't say what's bothering him. I told you I can't invite guests today. I'm wiped. I can't function. I need this time, and then when I get my energy, I'll be happy to have guests. And I told you that, you know. But he doesn't express that. So what does he answer? No, I'm just tired. And he takes a nap, and she sits on a recliner, starts reading, but she can't concentrate. And she's saying to herself, you know, why my husband, I wish he would tell me what's upsetting him and just get over it. What type of marriage do we have? He's holding a grudge against me, won't talk about it. How do you act like this? Does he really love me? Okay. So Tova is experiencing emotional pain. Reuven doesn't know how to handle that emotional pain. So he avoids it and he withdraws. Problem is, his withdrawal shakes up his wife and hurts her more. So what happens is, she's worried about his emotional state and what the marriage is like. And it seems to be a minor thing, but what's happening is her mind is spinning. And she basically, the simcha came out of her and was removed from her. She's now, looks like she's, the way he puts it, like you lost a loved one. She's like in that devastating thing. She's thrown into turmoil now. What's my marriage like? What's going on? That's enmeshment. That's that unhealthy enmeshment of getting too caught up with the emotion of it. How do you unmesh? And he explains this. What is the healthy response for the wife? Because the wife knows what the problem is. She knows it. He asked her not to invite guests, and she invited the guests. So, if she doesn't fully know it, she could say, okay, I see my husband's not happy. Right now, I'll let him be. We'll talk about it maybe later. But right now, I could visit some friends. I could read a book. Or she could say to herself, you know, I realize now I made a mistake. I didn't realize that me inviting guests would have such a, you know, hurtful effect on my husband. So I'm going to, when he wakes up, I'm going to go over to him and apologize. I'll apologize. But while he's taking that nap, she's calm. She'll read a book. She'll go to her friends because she knows this was the problem. I made a mistake. And I'm going to own up to it and I'm going to apologize to him because I do love him and he'll recognize. And then even if he doesn't handle it right, wrong, the other thing, this is the right thing to do. And I'm not worried about it. That's unmeshed. That's healthy. Or she could say, if she's not that forgiving, because it bothers his silence, he could say, she could say, I didn't like it when my husband acted that way with our guests. The guests were uncomfortable and it was embarrassing to me. And I'll talk to him about that. But whichever way it is, she's dealing with the issue in a healthy way. And she could get absorbed into other things that she wants to do. Either reading a book, going to sleep and taking a nap, visiting friends. But this enmeshment creates an unhealthy thing. He feels down, she'll feel down. He feels good, she'll feel good. He's happy, she's happy. He's sad, she's sad. But that's not the way life works. You could have scenarios where the husband's in a very good mood and the wife is not, or vice versa. The wife is in a very good mood and the husband's not. And they need to know they don't have to mirror each other's moods and drag the other one down. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to bring the other one up, but you can't push it. You can't press it. You have to give sensitivity. They're not feeling so well now, and you have respect for that. So that is the idea. So, but what happened here? What happened here is this Reuven, he was tired. He's sleeping, and then he wakes up. So the 2 hours, he got a rest. Tova, in these 2 hours, is just, this is like going over in her head again and again and again and again. So he comes down the stairs. His wife says, good morning. How do you feel? And Reuven says, yes, I slept like a rock. Okay. You want food? No, I need to get to shul. So she goes, what do you mean you got to go to shul? Isn't mincha in another hour? Reuven now starts to feel suffocated again. He says, I have a chavrusa in 5 minutes. Oh, who's your chavrusa? So he answers, it's someone I don't know him. Because he wants to get out the door. So he's like answering shortly. And he's thinking to himself, oh, not again. While the wife is thinking, why is he angry at me? And she actually bursts out and says that, you know, you're in a lousy mood the whole day. What's wrong with you? And he yells back, I told you I was tired and now I'm late. I have no time for this conversation. And then Tova yells back, see, You can't hide it. Something's bothering you. You're not talking to me about it. You just have that sour look on your face. And he yells back, there's nothing to talk about. I'm just not feeling good today. I'll get over it. Let's drop it. And he leaves, and he's happy to leave. And he's thinking to himself, can't I be in a quieter mood once in a while? Why does the whole world have to be in a turmoil? And he goes to shul, he davens, and his head's on the Gemara. And Tova's crying. So this is a drama. By the way, again, this author is doing it this way, but it's reversed too. It doesn't make a difference what gender is generating what. In this particular one, she's being the pursuer and he's being the distancer. She can't tolerate his emotional distance, so she's chasing him because she wants reassurance, but he needs his space. He feels he's being crowded in, and because of that, he goes further away. And that's a typical cycle of an example of an enmeshed couple. They cannot be happy until harmony is restored. And listen very carefully. We all want shalom, and that's the goal. But in marriage, we're going to have to learn how to be calm, peaceful, respectful, and loving, and having emunah betachin, that everything will work out, even if at this moment there is not the harmony. Even at this moment, let's say this example that we just gave, the husband asked the wife, no, please don't invite guests, I'm wiped out. And she went and invited the guests anyway. In a healthy, unenmeshed couple, this is the way it's supposed to go. The wife, does she have a right to be a little bit upset that he didn't say a word to the guests? She has a right to that feeling. Does the husband have a right to be upset? I have guests here. I didn't want them. I told my wife. She didn't listen to me. It's not my ego talking. I'm wiped. I can't. It's hard for me to function. So what are you doing? Each one has a valid feeling here. But in an unenmeshed, healthy couple, they know how to do this. They know how to say to themselves, I'm tired, Reuven says. I'll lay down. And at some point, I'm going to explain nicely to Tova, you know, maybe I should have been more talk more. But this is what it was. It's not that I have an ego that I'm upset. I said do this and you did the opposite. It's not that I'm really just overwhelmed and I'm tired. And hopefully she'll understand and vice versa. But during the time that there is this disconnect or disharmony, they're not anxious at each other. They could do other things while he's sleeping. He could sleep. She could read a book. They're not burying things under the rug. They're going to address it later. And they will, in a healthy way. So that is the idea. But if you continue this vicious cycle, she's pursuing and he's running away, they don't give themselves the time and space. Let them process the negative feelings in a healthy way, if there is negative feelings. By pushing it, it's like you're trying to get the sun to rise early. You're afraid of the dark? Okay. Nate's is 5:30. I'm going to make it that it's 4:30. You can't make it that it's 4:30. If Nate's is 5:30, if sunrise is 5:30, it's 5:30 a.m. It's not 4:30 a.m. You could do whatever you want. Same thing over here. In this particular case, Tova needs to right away talk to Reuven, why you called and everything. What she's doing is she is telling the sun, rise now. Rise now. I can't wait till 5:30. It's 4:30. The Nates has to be now. It can't be an hour from now. That's what is happening. So then they have a discussion. Now here is a healthy discussion. And she finally tells him, you know, they have a conversation and that they still are disagreeing, which is healthy. The wife is telling the husband, Tova's telling Reuven that having guests is important to her and it's a chiyuv. And the fact that he was moody was never okay, even if it was hard for him, but that's not okay to treat guests like that. Reuven answers back, I respectfully disagree. There are times you need to pull back a little. there are times to recoup an energy, and he needed that this Shabbos. He also tells her, and if it's Emes, if he was upset, he says, yes, I was upset. You know, now I'm working on through that, and everything will be fine because I love you. But if he's not, if he got over it, he tells her, you know, I'm not angry at you. And I wasn't hostile to the guests. I'm not hostile to you. When I was quiet, it wasn't because I'm going to show you or I'm brooding. I'm just wiped. I didn't have the energy. And the wife responds, you know, when you get quiet and you have that look on your face, I have, it triggers me because everything disappears. I think you hate me. And in the husband's mind now, he's thinking his wife's really overreacting. Her emotional dependency on his mood is not his fault. It's not in his control. Okay? So he says, he doesn't want to blow up. So he says, I don't mean to hurt you. I never meant to hurt you. What's done is done. Let's get back to normal. But I'm sorry about this. I'm really sorry. And she says she's sorry. And she says, maybe I should have listened to you. See, now that things calm down, she acknowledges, yes, maybe I should have listened to you when you said what you said to not invite guests and keep the Shabbos quiet. And basically what happened in this discussion is Tova was successful in recouping her emotional balance. She took, right? But the problem here is sometimes it's not about winning. The wording here is a little less clear in the book, but I'm trying to figure it out. But the idea being is she needs to hear she needs Reuven to understand her point of view. But she doesn't have to, you know, he needs to understand his point of view and vice versa. That's what it is. And you bridge the gap by doing that way. So when you had this discussion, what we just described, things are calmer. There was a validation on both ends. If you don't talk this way, then they'll be tossing and turning. She'll be agonizing still, and he'll feel distant still. Because they did not address the issue itself in an open, respectful way. So what was the problem here? Vatranis. Vatranis. So here is the idea. Tova has to be honest with herself. So let's go back. Reuven asked his wife Tova, please don't invite guests for Shabbos. I need my quiet time. I need it. Tova either could say or express, but this is what the healthy communication is. When Tova hears this, if he should not tell Reuven, okay, no problem, you know, if that's not what she's feeling. Instead, she should say to herself, I love to have guests at the table. That's what makes Shabbos for me. But I'm going to think of Reuven first and give up the guests. But the thing is, she has to tell Reuven this. She can't have it just in her head. Because if she's having it just in her head, this thought, it's like she's making a deal with Reuven, but she didn't tell Reuven about the deal. In other words, what she's saying, she did not tell this to him. She's thinking in her head, I'm giving up the guests for Shabbos. I'll be extra loving and considerate. And of course he's going to reciprocate and he's going to say, thank you so much for not inviting guests. I appreciate it. She's assuming that, and that is the problem. Instead, she could tell him directly, the honest truth, I love you, for me it's hard. And she could say that, and she should say that. You don't want guests for Shabbos because you're drained. I respect that, and I love you. But I'm going to tell you the honest truth. For me, I love guests. For me, that's Einik Shabbos. But yes, I'm giving that up because I respect you. And I know that's the best. And she could ask point blank, openly to Reuven, if I do this for you, will you reciprocate and give something up for my sake? She could point blank ask that, because that's healthy. Because then you're expressing what you truly feel in a respectful way where he understands, and that communication is clear. So we'll be Messiah by simply saying that very often the uncomfortable aspects of being afraid to hurt each other to such a degree blocks it and makes it a disaster, while if you have the courage to express your difference of opinion in a respectful way, it diffuses everything, and that's the healthier way. That's non-enmeshed versus enmeshed. Bracha and Hatzlacha.